Hey, Warners, this is your warning that the following episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About went a bit rogue from the beginning. You know, one of those episodes where we started the show before we started the show, you know, we were recording and then things happened. So put on your big girl panties and buckle up for the ride with Rachel Pitts, Keith Walters, and yours truly, Gina Tremarco. Let's start this session off with some meditation or just a deep fucking breath.
Wow.
Thanks for that. I needed that. That's good. Exactly. You breathe in and then you got to breathe all the other shit out. That's the part people forget about. You breathe in and then you got to get rid of the shit. Looks like you're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Have you been craving them lately?
No, I have been smoking them lately.
Uh-oh.
What? You started? You were craving.
I was having the craving and finally I just went out and bought some cigarettes and had one. Because I'm like, you know, is the world going to come to an end if I smoke a fucking cigarette right now?
No, but somebody will judge you.
I was wondering what happened. That's what happened.
I just don't fucking care. Because guess what? You know,
they're going to judge you anyway.
They judge me anyway. I've been sober for more than 8 years at this point. So anybody that's sitting there judging me, take a look at how your garden is growing.
Ooh.
And you know,
take care of your side of the street, as you say.
That's right. I what's funny is I my company that I've been working on lately is the Ultra Fit Lifestyle, and so then there I am like smoking an American Spirit over there. But you know, nothing, the world didn't come to an end from me smoking a cigarette. And I'm highly aware that it was not a good choice, and is not a good choice. And I'm aware of it. And it's not, again, it's not the end of the world. And right now, there's so much fucking stress all around us. Like, my work stress is about to kill me. My the stress of COVID-19, the stress of racial tensions, the stress of, am I going to have to go through this fucking homeschooling shit again next year?
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't know if we'll go back to school. So you know what? Instead of ripping someone's head off or going and getting a drink, which is a real bad idea for an alcoholic, I figure a cigarette is probably about the least bad thing I can do. My husband and I have discussed it, and he's like, well, I can't tell you anything about addiction. So
good on him. Smart, yeah. Husband, smart man.
Yeah. Well, he's got some habits he needs to look at as well. So he can't be telling me about mine, but, yeah, it's not, it's funny. Cause I like, it's not something that I would, that I'm proud to share, but it, you know, everybody's in survival mechanisms and that was mine. I was tired of like craving it and thinking about it. So I was like, fuck it. What's the worst that could happen? Okay. I have to quit smoking again.
I think this is a really kind of interesting, healthy conversation to have because I was thinking about this morning and I journaled on it this morning about recognizing things that we do that maybe are not the smartest, might be a little self-sabotaging,
self-destructive.
And you know, I did a little self-destructive last night that I shouldn't have. And I'm like, I'm just going to write about it and get it out of my system.
Care to share?
No, this sounds interesting.
The ultra fit girl just shared that she smoked some cigarettes lately. What you got?
I had, and this will be slightly sensitive to you. I had too much to drink last night.
It's not sensitive to me. I didn't do it.
I mean,
it's your issue.
I had, and I've been really good through COVID and, you know, like top of mind on all this, at how easy it would be to fall into something for soothing purposes, right? Or anybody going through emotional shit, we do things to soothe. Right. And so whether it's a cigarette or it's a glass of wine or, and because I started this low carb thing, I was like on no carbs.
Oh, yeah. I saw a post that was like, bye-bye wine.
Right.
So, and I moved. Were you drinking liquor?
Vodka.
Were you drinking
liquor? So I moved to vodka.
So, yeah.
With no carbs in my system. And gotcha. I recognized it this morning. I was like, all right. Good. You happy you did that? Good. Get it the fuck out of your system.
You actually don't. You look good. You don't look hungover. So you're good.
I feel fine. I mean, I got up. I journaled. I worked out. Like, I'm good. I just didn't like that I had maybe too many. Mm-hmm. Because I fell into
I'm
this,
an expert in that, actually.
I fell into a soothing path last night because of just everything piling up. And at some point, you just, it comes out in some form, whether it's,
that's right,
whether you're getting on the bike and riding, or you have a drink or you have a cigarette, somehow it shows up. And it showed up last night. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to beat myself up today about it. I'm just going to acknowledge it. Kind of like you acknowledge the cigarette. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to forgive myself because I'm reading Radical Forgiveness again, and I'm going to move forward.
Yeah. I think that the problem comes with bad habits and addiction, since I am pretty much an expert on that shit due to my past. I think the problem comes when we get into a habit or scenario where we aren't seeing that the behavior is destructive to our life.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's gonna, it might come in the form of donuts for people. You know, it might come in the form of binge watching TV.
Yeah.
It's just like you said, Gina, a form of soothing and trying to escape what's going on. And as long as we recognize, okay, probably really not a good idea, especially with my goals in life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then you can approach it with an actual, rather than beat yourself up about the behavior or feel worried about people judging you, just recognize what's going on and recognize if that's a good path.
And clearly, right, it's not. Right? For you know, it's clearly not where. And it's not like I got crazy or anything. I just, this morning I was like, why did I do that? Like, that could
sometimes that's good to, sometimes it's maybe good to dive to, for that to happen. And then you recognize, oh yeah, this wasn't as great as I thought it would be. Or, I mean, I'm an ex-smoker and I remember, you know, lighting one up and it's like, really? What? It's like, this isn't that great. Or, you know, you have a little bit too many, and then the morning it's like, that's why I shouldn't be doing this.
So Keith, now that the ladies have shared their transgressions, you got anything for us? What you got? What you got? Come
what
on.
What I got?
Yeah, what do you got?
Did you drink too much kombucha last night?
Actually, you know, it's funny, since the coronavirus thing started, I've actually drank a lot less, but that's not the norm. Alcohol sales are way out the roof.
Yeah.
But last night I probably had a half of vodka I shouldn't have had.
Oh, okay.
I think that most of America and the entire world is probably having those, a lot more of those type of moments where we're like, there's just a lot of stress going on.
They're looking for escape, right? They're looking for soothing and something to kind of comfort and all those things.
I mean, you can't even go. It used to be, and actually my Just the Tip Tuesday this morning was talking about, I've decided to put more focus on books rather than Facebook from here on out for the rest of 2020, because like it used to be that Facebook was kind of like a fun place you could go and like check out some funny goats or whatever. And now it is a cesspool of people's political opinions, people's opinion on racism, which are just as wildly split as Democrat and Republican views right now, because you've got, you know, Black Lives Matter. You've got some people that are really, working towards that, which is very important. Then you've got people on the other side that are diminishing or making fun of Black Lives Matter. Then you've got a really gray middle ground that's equally as fucked up of people going, I didn't see color. I don't understand why everybody just can't hug each other and just everything go away. Like it's, you know, there's that pisses people off in one direction or another. Like you don't even, there's not even anything that you can hardly say anymore. That's why I'm like, I'll be over on Instagram building that following because fuck this shit.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Or, so yeah, we were going to talk about this.
Wait. And welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, the Rogue episode. Continue.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, y'all.
I spent, and I'm not angry. I wanted to put it out there that I'm not angry about this scenario. I just find it really interesting and it's part of this. So I've spent the last several months working on one of my new parody music videos that if you go to the singinglender.com or if you go to Singing Lender on Facebook or Instagram, you can see them or on YouTube. And part of doing my latest video was it was fun. And I also wanted to utilize some of my friends who are dancers who lost their jobs. I spent a shit ton of money on costumes. I spent hours and hours and hours plotting out the shots. And we had so, so much fun filming this video. I hyped it. I had these great photos. And a couple of weeks ago, number one, the racism scenario, the racial tensions started building. People within my mortgage company if you get a group of people, there's going to be a couple of people in there that are going to post something inflammatory. There just is. Then there was another scenario with someone in my company that posted something that was very controversial, which we won't get into. We don't need to get into. All this happened. A new social media policy was put out from the corporate level of my company. And they told me I was not allowed to release my video because it was purposefully provocative and pushing the envelope. And it's just the timing is bad.
The timing is bad for what? Like it was provocative. I get it was provocative, but what is it offending at this moment?
That part I'm not going to get into because I don't want to. It's not really because mine is so provocative. It's because some other things that happened that.
Is it almost like we can't make an exception for Rachel? Because
no, I'm trying to think of the political way to say this that won't hurt anybody aside from me. The video that was posted prior to mine was one that was disparaging to the company.
Okay. Got it.
And so therefore there were consequences to that individual for posting something disparaging to the company, and the timing of my video, and the fact that it's pretty hot.
It's sexy.
It's fucking sexy.
Sexy as fuck.
I was told that, you know, it could create some complication that, well, how come she's okay being a fucking whore? And how come this wasn't okay when they were this and that?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was not angry about it because when I got the word, it was like, oh, please don't be mad. And I'm not mad about it. I just, I'm disappointed in myself in that I put that much creative energy into something that somebody could tell me I was not allowed to present.
That's interesting.
So that's what I learned.
But did you have a good time doing it? Did you enjoy yourself?
I really, really did. I had so much fun. And the result of it was, there were two results of it. Number one, it produced the result, which I was looking for my friends, the dancers, that they had an opportunity to do something really fun in the midst of a time that was very hard for them.
Yeah. It had to be a blast for them.
It was so fun. For artists and performers, like losing income is one thing, but losing that actual the ability to perform and that, like, you know, performers and artists of in all history have been poor, because they don't do it for the money.
Yeah.
They do it for the money because they can, and they've built their skill level to be able to be at a professional level. But, you know, every time I go back to Legends in Concert to perform, it's not because the money's so great, let me tell you. It's because I enjoy performing. I love how I feel. I love how I'm completely in the flow when I perform. So those guys, those gals, really had a good time. And the second thing that I discovered is that I'm really, really good at organizing people and creating a production like that. And everyone involved was impressed, and I was shown that I'm pretty good at that. So
why be mad at yourself though? I'm curious on that. You said you were mad at yourself.
Because I should be using that kind of creative energy to promote myself. And
but you were.
I guess.
You were, and instead of being mad at yourself, I see it as you had an opportunity to really learn or relearn or realize that, damn, I'm really good at that. And you know what? I'm really convicted and committed to that. And that opens the door for you to like really get more in purposeful going forward.
Yeah. And I just have to keep corporate names out of it and just keep mine in it.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why I said, "Can you edit it?"
Rachel, have you ever read a book called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert?
I think I have.
Yeah, I have.
So one of the big takeaways from her book, which is a great book for creatives, is that, and she talks about it in the context of her writing a book, and you know, if you write it or you create for others, you're not going to get what you need. You have to write and create for yourself.
Right.
And that's what you were doing, was creating for yourself. And I think you ought to applaud yourself for doing it rather than apologize to yourself.
Yeah.
For it's like, I think you never know where a year from now, 5 years from now, whatever, that may make the difference in something.
Oh,
and so when you do it for yourself is a huge key. That's the magic.
And I'm
that's
glad
the big
that
magic.
I did it.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'll have to send it to you now that you have it. Gina's seen it.
It's amazing.
And I have had a few people that I've sent it to privately. I respect the fact that I do work for a corporation and I do not want to do anything to make anybody look bad. That is for sure. But I have been sharing it.
And at some point you may not be working with them and you have another opportunity to share it.
Right. And I have my upper manager, he wants to meet with me and talk about re-editing it in a way that's presentable. But I'm a little bit unsure that I want to do that, because the whole point of it is that I created it and it's kind of like having... Like you write a song and then somebody comes in and tells you, well, you should actually sing this instead.
Well, you know, but that's the entertainment world too.
Yeah.
The entertainment world does come in, and my first reaction to you was, can you re-edit it? I mean, I watched it in detail. I'm like, she could edit that there. She could edit that there. Like you could still piece.
I got clearance to post, as I did on my Instagram page, and you can go to Instagram at the Singing Lender and see the first clip. There's nothing controversial. There's nothing sexy. And I also don't mention the company name, and that I got clearance to release, which is fine. And it's just when it gets a little sexy. And I did it. You know what? I did it on purpose, because my very first video that I did, I'm wearing this red dress. You can see it on my cover video at the Singing Lender on Facebook. I got freaking serious backlash on that it was too sexy and too provocative and da da da. And then these same people that were saying it was too provocative were posting publicly about how freaking killer J-Lo and Shakira were on Super Bowl. So I was like, okay, bitches, I'm going to push the envelope. And so when I did, then I was told, no, can't do that.
So Gina, do you notice how passionate Rachel gets when she talks about this?
Oh, yeah.
This
I
is
know.
A passion, and it's great.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be really careful with the editing, because you have to ask if the editors are editing for content or if they're editing for agenda. And, you know, an editor that edits for content, you know, this word may work better here than that word to get a story across, versus editing for agenda, which is somebody else's view.
Yeah,
you're trying to imply on your view.
My suggestion on the editing was to edit out the company's name. Right. There are places where she can edit out the company's name and not have to do that much changing.
And I still represent the company with what I publicly release.
Yeah.
Which is why I kind of might just sit on it for a while and decide what I want to do, because I'm undecided.
Well, and that's probably the best thing to do right now is to sit on it, you know, to be still.
My boobs look good in it, though.
Your boobs look amazing in it. I was going to say,
I think my boobs are the part of the problem.
Oh, now the boobs have become a part. Yeah. Welcome to boobland.
I think the boobs are part of the problem.
Yeah. Boobs can get you in trouble.
I never heard that statement.
Well, in this whole scenario, as well as all of quarantine and all of this hot topic of racism, my brain is like melting each day by reevaluating how I am approaching just about every aspect of my life, aside from, you know, my marriage, which is in a good place, thank God. Third time's a charm. But like everything, the way I interact with people, who I'd like to do business with and not do business with anymore, based on what I have, the whole, like, really intense stuff I've seen people share publicly. The direction and legacy that I want to leave in my life, like all these things. It's definitely, I've been thinking a lot. It's interesting.
Okay, everybody breathe in. Every day.
I like how Rachel does her breaths.
Her breaths or her breasts?
Her breaths with her breasts.
She was doing her breaths holding her breasts.
Hey, man, these are fucking paid for. I can do what I like.
You could do whatever you want with your breasts. Welcome to the Breast Club.
It's a really fun club.
It is a fun club.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they can really be leveraged. I've been leveraging mine.
I was trying to leverage mine and I got censored. So, you know, it's very confusing. So
you find a new way to leverage them.
So why does that happen? Why does leveraging that in this aspect create negative repercussions? As opposed to if I was 6'10 and 280 pounds, my physical attributes, I could leverage.
Because you're a white man.
No. Well, if you were a tall woman, you know, you could play point guard on, you know, female pro basketball team. You're leveraging your physical talents. You're leveraging your physical aspects. You know, it's interesting because it's related to sex.
Well, yeah. I don't think
definitely.
And that gets back into this, you know, that's a repressed area of conversation.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's looking at the 6'10 woman going, damn, she could play basketball. But they're going to look at a pair of boobs and, you know,
that dissonance in that is just drives me up a wall.
I mean, I had a client come right out and make some comments about my boobs yesterday.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is not the first time.
And how did it make you feel?
A plethora of feelings. A, as a woman, you want to be attractive. So let's just be real. Like, who doesn't want to hear that? But then you got to be like, it's a fine line of like, okay, want their business. How do I maintain this femininity and cleavage without the wrong message coming across? And it's a challenge. It is for me.
So they made an inappropriate comment about your cleavage to you, and yet, so did you respond? But yet you felt a little bit condescended, or I don't know if condescended is the right word, or a little uncomfortable.
I don't know if it's uncomfortable more than it's an interesting scenario of this has happened before where I'm like, am I going to lose this business because I'm not playing the game?
So it's basically a kind of like a veiled form of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also part of the game. It's like flirtation in real life, but it's flirtation in business. I know. I'd love to hear what Keith has to say from a male perspective.
So it's an interesting situation. First off, I think people have to have a little bit of judgment in what they say. But, you know, from one perspective, I'd ask the question of, you want it to be noticed.
My boobs?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But you don't want it to be talked about.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a challenge, right? I mean, so that indicates there is a fine line.
Right.
And some people are able to judge that fine line better than others.
Yeah. It's like, look, but don't touch or talk. Hey, Warners, if you haven't had a chance to give us a rating and review, pop over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can leave us a rating or review there. Of course, we like 5 stars, but we're not going to beg for that. I mean, a review is probably cooler than a rating anyway, right? So pop over to do that. And now back to the show.
So then if you, okay, so now I'm coming from the perspective of new boobs that are purchased, and I'm going to put my fucking boobs out there. And if you talk about them, then my response is, thanks. They're just, they're new. Like, yeah. And it's, to me, it's different than if you're putting your cleavage out there, you want someone to look at it. So then if they look at it and say something about it, then should you not put your cleavage out there?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not putting my cleavage out there.
So it was just that you had some boobs.
Right. But the comment was made about my cleavage.
Mm.
Huh.
And I purposely covered.
That's when you give him a Judy chop.
but it's the... But it,
you know, so the, yes, my opinion. The other part of this is, if it's business, you ought to be talking about business. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. you know...
Yeah.
To me, that's from the other aspect of it. It's like... You know, it's no different than if you came in and you weren't showing anything or whatever, and a person immediately just starts to hit on you because you're the opposite sex. You know, it's like,
and that's happened.
Sure, that's happened. It's happened to me. But it's like, I thought we were having a business conversation,
right? And then that's
a really
and then
point.
That gets awkward. Right? Like, that's where it gets awkward, because you're like, okay, right. We're discussing a contract, and it is a throwback in time. I don't know. It's a weird, like, it's like things, you know, we've been talking about all the shit that's been going on with racial unrest, and before that, it was hashtag Me Too, and, you know, everything is kind of building up on each other, and while we think we're progressing as a society, sometimes we're not, and we're stepping backwards. Whether it's sexual harassment. And I sent you guys an article this morning on another improv theater that's internationally known that has shut down. And, you know, when hashtag Me Too was going on, many of the improv comedy theaters and entertainment venues were dealing with sexual harassment allegations. And now they're going through another series. Now they're going through racial allegations. Right. And so there's always going to be something that we haven't truly at this point in 2020 have not progressed to where we need to progress, that we're still dealing with all of this bias.
You know what? How? I can't stop thinking about this. So I have to just say it. Plus it'll break the tension. So like, what if women started showing up to like business meetings and go, damn, I was noticing that your fucking bulge in your pants is pretty small. What's up with that? Or the opposite. Yeah. Wow. And you know what, though? Men would love that. They would be like, yeah.
Would they?
Or like, wow, your bulge. Gosh, I was noticing. I couldn't help noticing the bulge in your pants. Are you happy to see me? Like, they. I mean.
Would they?
I don't know. It's like, I tend to feel like men love it if you have anything to say about their penis.
Wait, that just gave me. but you know, between you, what you just went through production and, you know, I have a production background, and our long-term goal as a company is to get into more digital marketing from a humor perspective. Wouldn't it be fun to do a series of sexual harassment videos that parody what women have been through? And like, you literally do a bunch of those videos. Cause I don't know if men would like that.
Like a bunch of women standing around when a guy walks in and going, Oh wow.
Did you see his package?
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'll hit that. think I can get him asleep with me?
Hey,
Keith.
How long's your package been that? How old were you when your package got to be that big? Like,
do you know how to use it?
Is that real?
Yeah.
Is that real? Is that real?
So what might be interesting to do is, what was the movie where they suspended all the rules about killing each other for a day or whatever? It might be interesting.
2020?
Well, yeah. It was out a few years ago. It might be interesting to, what would happen like for a day all rules were suspended, you know? And,
wow. I'd get shot pretty quick because I had my fucking mouth.
But it'd be interesting in a work environment when it's like whatever you wanted to say, you could say, and nothing could happen. And then the next day, you had to go back to just being,
you know, like, we
following decorum.
We have an improv game that we play called Alter Ego. And so you have one performer saying one thing, and then another performer speaking what their mind is really thinking.
I don't know if that's a real good plan.
I don't know that it is either, but
there's a reason for it. Well, I do think, though, and I think part of what Gina and I and Keith started this whole thing about is that one of the things that makes us the women your mother warned you about is that we will say most of what, and we have as a company been struggling with certain things that we wanted to discuss, aspects of current events that we wanted to discuss, and then feel like, oh, we better not discuss that.
Yeah. Just
because of such hot button issues. And, you know, I won't talk about politics to anybody. Like, actually only a few days ago, my husband and I had a political conversation the first time ever. And he was shocked at what I had to say. And I was like, it's because I don't ever discuss it with you. And I said, I respect your opinions, but wasn't sure how you would respect mine, honestly, because some of the views we have are opposing. And I don't really care what you think about my opinions on that issue, because when I go cast my vote, I can vote for who I fucking want to. But it was interesting because I won't talk about any of it to anybody, because like half of my friends list on Facebook and the people that I deal with in a business environment are super duper liberal, artsy people, you know, LGBT, like all that stuff. And then the other side is super conservative real estate professionals, like you've got, and everything in between. So I stay the fuck out of it.
But you know, it's funny because Keith texted us this morning, you know, it's like, is there anything that we've learned since starting this show? And kind of my response was like, yeah, just don't have an opinion. And that was my gut reaction because of everything that's been going on. And it's slightly annoying because I'm like, you know, and you and I got into this, Rachel, a few weeks ago, and we've done an episode on it. It's not about having a show of controversy to me. It's about having a show where we can speak our minds and without judgment, right? And I posted about that theater closing this morning, and I said, you know, if everybody would just learn and apply the philosophy of yes and, which is a philosophy of acceptance without judgment, we would all be in a much better place. And it's not...
That's your opinion, Gina.
That's right. That's right, bitches. That is my opinion.
I agree with you. I think we're getting into this period of groupthink that is just so wild. But it's my opinion that these periods of groupthink have led us to the censorship and you know, even I think I mentioned this morning when we were texting back and forth about how it was censorship that created the challenges that women have right now. And it was groupthink and censorship, you know, and now struggles to get out of that groupthink that was put in place years and years ago. And, you know, when we don't support open discourse, you know, that's what happens.
And by support, like, again, my opinion, support is not necessarily agree.
Not at all.
Support is like, accept that that's your stance. Doesn't have to be my stance, but I'm also not going to beat you up for it.
Right. And that's one thing that in politics now, there's a reason that there's a Democratic Party and a Republican Party in the United States. And it's, you're allowed to be one or the other. There's the reason for it is so that everything doesn't swing one direction, you know, and people forget. And what really upsets me about both sides that are extreme to the right and extreme to the left is that I feel that social media has presented an opportunity for people to attempt to make others feel bad about their opinion. And that, in my opinion, is one of the things that America was built on, is that, you know, these damn people came over here because they were being oppressed in Europe and they wanted a place where they could do their own thing. And now that's been created. And now there's, you know, extreme one way or the other saying, well, you're stupid if you actually think that. You should think what I think, and you're dumb. And it's both sides.
Yeah.
It's both sides.
It is. It's this level of intolerance that is just unbelievable.
Yeah, my parents, I was raised by, I've got great parents, and actually my parents both are in different political parties. And so what they've been telling me, they live in a they live in a really tight-knit neighborhood. In the Myrtle Beach area, there are these neighborhoods where a lot of people move from the north. My parents are not originally, you know, not from the north. They moved from Virginia, but a lot of people from the north, they're used to these tight neighborhoods in the cities and stuff. So these neighborhoods of retirees are super tight knit and they're all up in each other's shit. And my mom is like, you wouldn't believe what's going on. Like, so-and-so won't even talk to so-and-so because they're flying the Trump flag, and then this other person is super liberal and they won't even talk anymore. They won't even walk on the side. They'll like go to the other side of the street. Like, it's happening so extremely in, you know, it's not just the 20 somethings who are out there waving their flags. It's the retirees too, that like won't even talk to each other and come to the parties. Well, I'm not going to Mary's party because she has this political belief. Like, oh my God.
Well, they like regress because they're retired and got nothing to do.
Right, totally. Like, hey, do you see so-and-so's flag across the street? It's either a Trump flag or like a rainbow flag, and everybody, you know, who knows? Yep. Whichever one is going to make someone mad these days.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, that whole, you know, that gets into this question of diversity, which means multitude of thought. That's not what the current definition of diversity is. But, you know, it's great to have different opinions, right? It's great to have different viewpoints.
You would think.
You would think that's the way we expand our whole thought processes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That or we end up in what's called an echo chamber. And, you know, then here we are. You know, I start each morning with a prayer, and it's actually called Tecumseh's Prayer, and who was Indian chief back in the 1600s, but he had a line in it that says, "Trouble no one about their religion, respect others and their views, and demand that they respect yours." And you know, and you can substitute the word religion for politics or anything else. It's, you know, respect others and make sure they respect you.
And you know what? If you posted that prayer, somebody would be offended.
I'm sure they would be.
you know, I mean, this is what it feels like right now. It feels like a constant walking on eggshells.
Well, yeah. But let's talk about that for a second. Does it really, when you're living your life, does it feel like you're walking on eggshells in the real world, or are you talking about social media?
No, I think it's leaked into the real world. I used to think it was just social media, but I think because there's so much emotion right now going on that even in the real world, even if I'm like out at the grocery store, I'm like, did I bring my mask? What if I don't wear my mask? Did he just give me a dirty look because I don't have on my mask? I mean, it's like it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. I feel like it's kind of leaked further beyond social media because of social media and mainstream media. I think those are huge culprits.
Going back to what I said earlier, I've decided that I'm going to escape into books. Books.
I like that.
Yeah, and I'm out here trying to find Galt Gulch, which will, which will, for those who know the reference, will indicate, you know, my, some of my philosophies.
I don't get it.
So you've never read Ayn Rand. And
well, I have The Fountainhead. That's on my bookshelf, and I need to read that one, but I haven't read Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, I'd start with Fountainhead and then go to Atlas Shrugged, which you're talking about days and days of reading.
Yeah, so I know.
They're both.
That's why I'm learning speed reading, so I can get through this shit faster. Literally, anyways, go see my Just the Tip Tuesday and read Limitless. It's so fucking good.
So it's on my Audible.
It is. Let's get back to the Gulch, but I decided I've been following that guy since Game Changers. And he's got this messaging that is very concise, and what's really fascinating on a business sense is you can go all over Jim Quick's social media, his websites and all these things, and he tells these same stories. And they're very effective stories and very poignant stories. And his techniques are so simple and so immediately effective. It's just worth the price of admission, like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I've doubled my reading speed just by reading his book. Doubled it. I'm at 500 words a minute just after a couple of days of practicing, where I was at 250.
And that's reading, not listening.
Reading a book.
Okay. Because I'm on Audible. I put it at 1.5 on listening.
No. I'm not talking about his book. I'm talking about what he teaches you when you get to speed reading.
Got it.
Interesting. So what's the name of his book? Jim Quick.
Limitless. His name is spelled K-W-I-K. It's really good. And he also talks about memory. And so that was another reason that I got into him, is because I feel like I don't remember people's names as well as I'd like to. And he's very, very good at that. And he does a lot of like visual association. Anyways, check it out.
That's actually, it's really good, especially if you're in leadership, because that memory thing is key. You know, I went to a presentation and did a memory presentation. As a CEO and as a leader in a company, I believe you should be able to call people by their first name. And that's a memory challenge. Mm-hmm. But most people should be able to remember up to 500 names. And it's like, oh, wow. You know, how do you get to that point?
Yeah. And he does an exercise in his live presentations, apparently, where he'll call out to the audience and they'll give him between 30 and 100 words, and he can learn them on the spot and then recite them forwards and backwards.
Yeah.
And he taught me, and this was another presentation I watched of him, and I'll never forget it. And I talked about it on my tip this morning. He did this list of words. Here's the words. I'll say them for you guys, and then you repeat back to me how many you can remember. Ready? Fire hydrant, balloon, battery, barrel, board, diamond, knight, ox, toothpaste, sign.
I don't even know where to start.
Battery, barrel, ox, sign, balloon.
It was battery, balloon. But I can't go from there.
I got more words than Keith.
Keith got three. You got four or five.
Yeah.
So really quickly, now this is how he taught me to learn it. I can recite those forwards and back. And I learned that like 2 months ago. So the way that he does it and how you remember stuff is, so you're standing beside this giant fire hydrant. It's bigger than you are.
That's
and then all of a sudden, the fire hydrant is attached to a balloon and it flies up into the air.
Visuals.
The
story.
Yeah.
And then these batteries come flying at it and pop the balloon. And the batteries were in these big giant barrels that were catapulted from a board. And the board was balanced on this diamond. And then the knight came along and he stole the diamond and he ran off. But then the ox was in the way. And the only way to get past the ox was to brush his teeth with toothpaste. And then when he brushed his teeth with toothpaste, then this giant sign exploded with neon lights.
See, I think the more creative you are, the more you can do that.
And yeah, I mean, I'll never ever probably forget that shit.
Ooh, there's an improv exercise in that.
Yeah.
Because it's storytelling.
Something that Rachel mentioned, though, is a really good question, because you ask Rachel if this pressures and so forth were just in social media or if they're bleeding into our real life. And I think that may be worth how do we get it out of our real life? You know, how do we recognize that that's happening. How do we get it out of our real life? How do we keep it from impacting us?
I think my gut reaction is you have to recognize it and then be intentional to get it out of your life. Like a bad habit.
So where do you see it getting into your life, Gina?
Like the most noticeable to me is like just being, you know, out and interacting with a group of people. Now I'm kind of sequestered in this house alone all the time. I have interaction through Zoom and stuff like that. I think it's when I'm out in public and I'm in a whole nother genre of people. Maybe some being strangers, maybe some being that I don't see that often, that I don't have a lot of interaction with. That's kind of where I see it. I think it's like you, if you're like, I do not do well as someone staying in the house and being introverted. I know that for sure now. I wasn't completely sure I was extroverted, but now I'm positive of it. I know it's crazy. I do worry about the psychology going forward and mental health going forward, because I think we're going to see a lot of PTSD from this. People who have been sequestered, locked up, working from home, dealing with the fear that comes from social media or mainstream media or just the people in your life. I think we haven't even begun to see what's going to happen from a mental health perspective.
Yeah, when this episode releases, you know, will we be deep into a second wave? Will we be re-quarantining? Well, you know what? And if so, that I agree with you, that whole PTSD thing just is going to get bigger and bigger.
Well, I've figured out that I like being an introvert and I'll stay the fuck away from all of y'all motherfuckers and work from home forever. But I definitely agree that it, especially the mask thing, like where I'm living down in Pawleys Island, there's been a huge resurgence lately. I wear a mask when I go in public, number one, because I have a chronic autoimmune disease and I'm a little concerned about catching it and the effects that I might have if I catch it. And number two, I do feel that I'm protecting others when I wear a mask. So when I go in public, I wear one. I've got a cool sparkly one and I've got one that's like a bear mouth. It's cool. And I was surprised on Sunday morning. I went to a bakery, a popular bakery, and went in and there was a line out the door. I was the only person in the entire building wearing a mask. Now, the thing that I think will help people is number one, education. I don't know where you can find education that'll be helpful in terms of COVID, because it's like what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
So overriding education would be empathy and respecting others, not judging others if they don't wear a mask because they probably have their own beliefs about that, not judging someone if they do wear a mask, and deciding how to protect your side of the street. Like, I'm big on that, and that's actually a recovery thing that people can utilize, which is like, make sure your side of the street is clean. Don't worry about what the other guy is doing so much, because then you're taking your eyes off of your own side of the street being clean. And taking inventory of someone else's life is never really that helpful to your own. And so therefore, like I said, I don't really have any judgment of somebody whether they wear a mask or they don't wear a mask, because there's such conflicting information out there that it's hard to know which one is better. Like, we were, Felix and I flew to Florida a couple of weeks ago, however long that was ago, it's all blur. And we wore masks on the plane. And on the way home, I was reading an article that someone had posted. She's a pregnant woman. She's like, I don't wear a mask. And here's why. She said, because these masks, you know, you can be breathing in a cloth mask and you're creating bacteria and mold because of the breath and all this da da da. And I'm like, oh, I'm sitting wearing a mask. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, my choice is I wear a mask. Your choice can be whatever it is. And I respect your choice. And that's the way that I see it. And I think that empathy is the pathway to that instead of judgment.
And empathy is not so easy for everybody.
No.
I sound like, because people want to be right. That's part. And
that's great. Yeah.
That goes back to yes and versus yes, but, right? The yes, but is a rebuttal because it's like, but this is my idea. But this is how I think. But you're wrong. But the studies say this. But I know more than you, right? Like,
and I will say, Gina, after going through that exercise with you on that yes and exercise, and it's been a while back, that's actually impacted a lot of, especially my writing, email responses and, you know, so forth. Whenever I see that word, but yeah. It's like, oh, okay, always. Let's take that out.
Yeah. Always. I think it's the best, and I will always say it. It is the best. One of the best lessons I've ever learned, because I use it when I talk to my child. I use it when I talk to my husband. I use it when I talk in business. I almost always will stop myself when I am saying, when I want to say, but I've come to that awareness from being around Gina enough that I'm like, and.
Yeah, it is great.
And that's just the literal piece of it, right? That's the literal piece of the exercise. And I'm going to continue to push on, and maybe it'll become my new thing to push on, is the general philosophy of this acceptance without judgment. Acceptance, yeah. Without judgment. Acceptance without judgment. It has to be a practice intentionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, the micro and the macro person, I think that's great. And I think, you know, it's, for me, it's helped in my relationship discussions. It's helped in my business discussions. It's kind of made me rethink how I communicate with my clients. It's so powerful, and it's so simple.
If you would like to learn more about yes and, you can contact Gina at any of her social media channels or at pivot10results.com.
Just ignore the social media. Go to pivot10.
That's yeah, right. Exactly. Totally. There you go. Yeah. Or contact her directly, Gina, yeah, at pivot10results.com.
There we go. Go straight.
But it's definitely,
go straight to pivot10
results. Ooh, I just said, but it's definitely what I have found in using it, especially in intense situations where someone's really fired up or someone's very angry. Like I have used it, I deal with in mortgage, not necessarily that they're angry with me, and that's an important thing to recognize, that an angry client isn't always angry at you. They're angry at the scenario that is happening, and they're not getting what they want. And using yes and is a great way to acknowledge how they're feeling and progress through the conversation, because the word but, whatever the psychology of that word is it's like, yes, but this and that and that.
It's a stop right. sign.
It's a stop sign, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we happened into this. I think it's a huge topic for all the stresses we're under right now, whether it's someone doesn't agree with wearing a mask or not, someone doesn't agree with your view on something related to the racial intolerance, whatever, you know. Have a discussion about it, but it, yeah.
It's like, yes, that's your point. Yeah, that's your point of view. And this is how I see it. Yeah, that's how you see it. And here's what I've learned that I can share with you.
And what if also this is true? That's been an interesting one in reading White Fragility, which I highly recommend, and I will continue to wave that flag of every white person should read that book. Because especially people that are like, well, I'm not racist. I don't see color. Like it's, yes, you may not see color. And what if also this is true about how our society is built?
Sometimes, yeah, we don't know what we don't know.
We don't. And and just to see a different point of view, because people want to be so right and they also don't want to be seen as bad. And what if they just haven't seen a perspective of a whole entire race of people? And what would happen if you were wrong?
I think you've hit on a bigger thing. I think that's a bigger thing that people, that's my whole philosophy on the universal truth of everybody wants to be loved. Well, if I'm wrong, how can you possibly love me? That's my big thing is at the end of the day, everybody wants to be liked and it's hard to admit it when you're wrong.
Yeah.
Cause you don't mean to be wrong. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that mean to be wrong. I don't know. But I don't think anyone is really that malintended that they're like, I'm going to say what I think and it's wrong.
That gets to the whole topic of absolute right and wrong. So there is which is a whole different question.
Man, what would that question be?
Who makes that judgment?
That goes back to judgment.
It goes back to judgment.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, there's all kind of contextual, you know, things that go along with it as well.
Such as?
What is right today may be wrong in the future.
Ooh.
Something that we absolutely, as a society, believe is right today.
Yeah.
15 years from now, may be deemed wrong.
Yeah.
So is it wrong today? Or is it wrong in the future? Or was it ever right or wrong? Or was it just is?
This is like so deep. Were you having some of your...
Oh, God, Stephen Hawking shit over here. Oh, my gosh.
Did you like take some of your stuff from the jungle? Are you...
No, I mean, that's the way I think. So that's why they call me a philosopher.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That is your culture index. Yeah. The philosopher. I was just having a flashback of when you were on that trip out in the jungle.
Oh, to Costa Rica. Yeah.
Yeah, remember?
No, I didn't get a chance to
Rachel
do that.
Rachel and I were like, what is he on right now?
I was going to try the ayahuasca, but I didn't do it. Wasn't available.
I'm interested in doing that with you one day.
Okay. I wasn't available. Otherwise, I would have done it. But
what was that? Do what?
Ayahuasca.
You can read about it in Game Changers.
I read Game Changers. I don't remember that.
You should read it about 3 or 4 more times. You'll get it. I've read it 5 times. And actually, I'm going to read it again. It's just one of those psychedelic trips that you can go on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he goes into the whole disclaimer of if you are going to use any type of psychedelics, you should be also at another, you know, some other levels of self-care and et cetera. But, so we're probably pissing the anti-drug people off right now. So.
Well, you know, it's just like almost anything. It's just like almost anything. Anything in moderation versus anything in excess. For
right.
example, this is a part of a chocolate brownie that's incredible. It's perfectly legal. There's nothing Coloradan in it.
Coloradan?
However, nothing. You know, if I sat down and ate 50 of these, I might have a heart attack.
Or gain weight. Or maybe
gain weight. Yeah. So, yeah, it's all about moderation.
We are ready to wrap up this rogue episode. Thanks, Warners, for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Warners, where you can get some bonus footage. Go check that out. And for more about us and the show, you can visit us at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, where you can find me, Rachel, and the Keith Walters, it's always a breath of fresh air to have him on with us. Keith, do you have any parting words about anything or this episode?
Oh, I think this episode was incredible because I got to sit here and watch you two ladies. It was just great.
Any parting words from you about this episode?
Parting words would be keep your own side of the street clean. Ooh. And have empathy for the fact that if someone else's side of the street is a mess, there's probably a reason. And empathy can help you make the world a better place.
And my parting words are going to be yes and.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
We should have a Patreon moment of you doing yes and a yes and lesson. That would be a really value add Patreon moment.
That's a great idea. And we have that. Idea. That exists. So we will, I will have Doug put that on Patreon. There we go. Awesome. Well, always fun to be with the two of you, but it's time to go. None of us are hangry yet, and we're on schedule, and it's time to say goodbye to our Warners. Goodbye, Warners. And of course, bye, Keith.
Bye, ladies.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.